The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
He drank like a fish the whole time he was there, but still was able to do well in school. So well, in fact, that he got into Yale Law School. Ever heard of that? Yeah. You know, and his father's a United States Senator. Someone will know who I'm talking about. And then he becomes a United States Marine. And then he comes out and something is going on internally in his life. He's married, he has a child, but his life of partying and craziness with his wife and with his family creates nothing but a hole in his soul. Pat Boone wrote the introduction to his book, and some of you won't know who that is, but all the old people in the room. April Love, perhaps you'll remember the song. He writes in his book, he says he's like the rich young ruler who just gave it all to the Lord and didn't hold back. He didn't walk away sad. And a man shared the love of Christ with this guy who had grown to the place of feeling suicidal with everything he had. Suicidal. And he confessed after being properly instructed, "I belong to Jesus." And his whole internal world shifted on its axis. And he basically gave away everything he had, and the Lord led him to create one of, I guess, the largest Christian television network in the world. And a university and all this stuff. And it really doesn't matter who Pat Robertson is. That's not the point. The point was at that moment of truth with Jesus, and Jesus goes, "Sell what you have and give it to the poor." He did it. Everything. And you know what God did for him? And this is not why we do it. He gave him everything that's really important. Everything that's really important. You know, Jesus' disciples, hearing about this young man coming and stepping away, those who heard what he said about the eye of the camel said, "Then who can be saved? Lord, if this rich kid, this amazing young man," and my hope is that he was saved, because let me just interject, he walked away sad. He walked away sad. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's when we realize who we really are. And Jesus had pointed out what his real God was. It was his money. What's your real God? Just asking. Don't know. What is it? What is at the center of your time, talents, and treasures? What is it? It's an interesting question. I think Jesus would ask it. If this guy can't be saved, they say, verse 26, then who can be saved? But he said, what is impossible with man, speaking of this boy and the rich, is possible with God. There is no one so far from the Lord's presence that he can't draw him back with cords of love. Ask St. Francis of Assisi. Ask Dr. Pat Robertson. Ask any number of us. Their conversion stories are so clear. I told you last week in my mind's eye when I came to Christ, I saw a thin curtain opening up. I think it was Robertson had the exact same experience. We did not coordinate this event. Jesus is right here, guys. If you don't know him, he's right here. And he's whispering to some of your ears, maybe not about your salvation, but about your priorities. "I've made you for more than this," perhaps he's saying. "I've made you for something special and unique. Don't think you have to be a pastor to be that guy." I had somebody talk to me about this recently. Ministry is right where you are. It's right where you are. Jesus Christ lives in you, and therefore at your job as a Marine, as a car salesman, whatever, he is there where you go, and he wants to make a difference in your life and the lives of those around you. If this guy can't get in, who can be saved? What is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said, "See, we have left," you know, Peter, he's always got to put it out there, but at least he's honest. "See, we've left our homes and followed you." You know, he's really saying, and we left some kind of dingy nets and a kind of a skeezy boat. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one, this is Jesus talking, who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more than this, many times more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. The rich young ruler didn't see what was just beyond the loss of his earthly goods. That was a unique calling. He was uniquely called to do what he did. It's not for everybody. But for all of us, you were called, chosen, and anointed by the Holy Spirit for uniqueness, for a special thing. Ask yourself today in the service, don't forget or on the way home, don't put this off. Lord, what was I made for? Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't want to turn away. If you have your finger on something, if you're putting your finger in my chest and saying, this has to go. There's a lot of things to worship, not just money. That's for sure. See, money is the fortress the rich use to keep a lot of pain out of their life. They think it'll make everything good and happy. Those that are out of control or in its control, so I can do what I want to do, and you'll see them crash and burn right and left because they don't understand. It's all about a relationship with the Lord. The same God that creates us has a plan for our life, and he is asking, begging, pleading with us to open up our hearts to his diagram and design. I was made for what I do. I'm a coach and a pastor. That's what I do. It's what I've always done. It was inescapable. It was just going to happen if I followed him. It's the same with you. You're a military officer. You're a centurion. Good. God bless you. Use your authority and your character to change your world. You're a financial wizard. Great. Thank you. Come do my accounting after the service, okay? Because I can't do it. But maybe you can. You're an oil engineer. Do that to the glory of God and let them see Jesus in you as you do it. St. Francis, he goes out and is the same guy he was except anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he changes his world, and in a sense, he brought to the body of Christ at that time a revision of their thinking. Those that were rich and crazy in Rome and doing wrong as pastors and bishops, he showed a different path, and the world rocked on its hinges. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's not the Ten Commandments. It's receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin bearer, God's sacrifice for you, the power of salvation. And what you receive in exchange is a new life and friends all over the place and houses and countries. You get to be like Tyler, who's going to Panama, and so many of you, to see other people, to extend the love of Christ, and thereby make friends. Last night, we made friends with people over at the shelter. They were asking about how they could come here. Why? Because of you, because of Jesus working in you. That's what you're made for. And that's all that Jesus is saying to that boy. He's saying, you want to live, you want to have real life, give up all the junk and go for it. And then he says, I'll give you so much more. Thanks. Because that's what real living is. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, for worship. And Lord, we pray for grace to be those kids who come to you and we say, yes, Lord. Just yes, Lord. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. Where is he talking to you where you should say thanks? What has he been calling you to do that you've resisted and you know he's been knocking? This is what he does after long experience. Thoughts keep coming to you and coming to you and coming to you and says, this has to go, this has to go. Face it with courage and tenacity and do what he calls you to do. He'll bless that. Bless this thy people. And if there's one here, Lord, like the rich young ruler that's going to walk away sad, don't. Don't. Listen to what he's saying. Reserve your judgment. Make your decision today to follow him and give up whatever it is he's put his finger on, that you might have friends and wonder and eternal life. Thank you, Jesus.